And we are joined once again on The Scoop today by Daniel House of GopherHole.com and 1500 ESPN. Daniel, hope your Christmas and New Year's were plentiful, and it certainly was a plentiful finish for the Gopher football team, and both the Gopher men's and women's basketball teams off to successful starts this year. So plenty to be excited about heading into 2019.
Same to you. I mean, Gopher Athletics is really on the rise right now. There's a lot of momentum going into a lot of the programs there, and if they can continue to sustain that success going into 2019, it's going to be interesting to see what they can accomplish.
The Quick Lane Bowl for the Gophers back on the 26th, they took on Georgia Tech, and all this talk about how do you defend the triple option, how are they going to slow down Georgia Tech's offense? Wow, the Gopher defense definitely lived up to their end of the bargain. The Gopher offense, not too bad either. It comes down to a 34-10 win, a very comfortable win for the Gophers. So let's just look at what we saw from the Gophers in the Quick Lane Bowl. What were some of your overall impressions of how the Gophers were able to dominate things?
Well, my overall impression starts with the last about 3 to 4 games at the end of the year. It started to become physical dominations. You were starting to see the Gophers meshing in the trenches, especially on the offensive line. You look at the growth from September to right about now with the offensive line, and it was just night and day. You saw that group becoming more cohesive. Younger guys were developing. They put Falele in the game in the middle of the year and started him. And the whole offensive line just kind of started to click after that. Connor Olson was dominating reps. Then you see Blaze Andre start to get going. And then in the bowl game, Curtis Dunlap, the 4-star recruit from Florida, got a chance to play. And he showed impressive growth, too. I mean, he came into the program at 390 pounds. He's down to 340. Which is right around the target weight that they wanted him at. And Blaze showed he can play on the left side at tackle by kicking him outside. So you see the bright strides in the offensive line, and that's where you build successes up front on both sides of the ball. Offensive line was addressed and wide receiver in that last class, and now you see the D-line getting prioritized for this next cycle. So you can see that the priority has been, if you don't win in the trenches, you're not going to be successful in the Big Ten, and that's kind of a philosophy that P.J. Fleck and the staff have implemented, and it's been on display in a lot of these games. And Mo Ibrahim running the football, I mean, that guy is so impressive. He just runs with a physical style, picks up so much yards after contact, runs with great balance and vision. He's progressed so much, and Kenny Burns deserves a lot of credit because that room has really, really evolved as the season progressed. Shannon Brooks was going to be a factor early in the spring, it looked like. Then he tore his ACL. Then Rodney Smith got hurt early in the season. And then you're turning to two freshman running backs, Bryce Williams and Muhammad Ibrahim. And they both were super effective when used this season. So credit to him for the way he developed the running backs. But you see not only that, but the passing game evolving. That's just offense. I think the defense showed a lot of growth with Joe Rossi coming in and simplifying things down too. And you can definitely see the vision of Gopher football kind of starting to come to life with the recruiting and the way they perform down the stretch.
Daniel, looking into next season, and obviously the Gophers after this finish are certainly looking towards having a bigger season next year. It's going to be very interesting and hopefully impressive to see how the Gophers use this running back group that they've got. And when I look at the players that will be part of this running back group, I go as far back as the days of Lawrence Maroney and Marion Barber. Is it a stretch to say that this is going to be as deep of a running back group as they've had since those days?
It's going to be as deep of a running back group as they've had in quite some time, probably into that era, I would say, because you look at what Mo did down the stretch. He proved that he can be kind of a different style runner, that physical runner that can wear you down late in games. So I'm curious to see how they distribute these carries next year. The good thing is Rodney and Shannon don't have to take the full share of carries. They can be rested and be fresh a little bit more. So you go with Rodney and Shannon, you split up carries, and then as the game progresses, you bring Mo in, and defenses start getting tired, you cannot arm tackle that guy. He's like a bowling ball going through pins. He just runs through defenders, and he's got that physical running style where you've got two dynamic weapons, where Shannon Brooks is more of the home run hitting physical runner with a lot of explosiveness in the open field. You've got Rodney with more of the versatile pass catching ability and kind of just really, really elusive back in space. And then you've got a guy like Mo that's real physical, yards after contact, just runs extremely hard. So you've got three different guys, and then Bryce Williams too, who's kind of the more agile back with a lot of burst to the edge. And we only really saw a bit of what we will witness from him, because physically he probably shouldn't have been playing at this stage. So maybe he gets a redshirt year next year. But yeah, you're right. That offensive group with that running back trio, and then you look at the wide receivers with Johnson probably coming back. You got Bateman and Ottman Bell, and then you got Nnamdi Adeyemi-Adumir coming in next year as a coveted wide receiver recruit, and some other weapons too. The offense is really trending upward.
How will that translate, though, to the rest of the Big Ten? And, I mean, the Gophers, they have battled against their adversaries in the Big Ten West here over the last couple of years. Do you think they have a chance to finish near the top of the standings?
I absolutely do, and it will come down to the quarterback play. The expectations, I think, kind of amped up after you saw the defense kind of click, the simplification of that scheme. When you look at the first six games in the Big Ten, they're 1-5 in conference games. They're allowing 43 points per game, more than 500 total yards per game. Yards per play was like 8 yards per play. They were allowing explosive plays. And over that final four games, they're 3-1. They're giving up about 15 points per game, just, you know, around 300 total yards per game, and that yards per play average cut in half. And that kind of leaves room for encouragement. Like, they're going to continue to add more depth on the defensive line. The offense was successful with about 8 underclassmen playing prominent roles on the offense. You look at how this team is built for the future. Those young guys that got a lot of reps, they're going to continue to add more players in to fill some holes in some other areas and continue kind of building competitive depth for the future. And you look at the Big Ten West, Wisconsin, they show that they can, you know, physically dominate in the trenches, and that's something that can carry over. Even if Wisconsin was a little bit depleted down the stretch, that's something that can carry over into future games. And for me, it comes down to quarterback play. If they can get just, you know, good quarterback play, it doesn't have to be anything spectacular, just good quarterback play, and they're going to be right in a lot of football games because of the brand of football they play. They've got a lot of explosive playmakers. They've got really good trench play up front on the offensive line. And then you look at the defense getting Winfield back, adding more team speed in the secondary with a couple of the recruiting additions that they have. Clemens, the JUCO transfer, is going to be someone who makes an impact right away probably. And then those interior defensive linemen. The future of Gopher football is definitely bright, especially when you look at how the Big Ten West is continually getting better. And it's going to be a tough road, but the Gophers have a lot of pieces to work with.
Speaking of a tough road, let's talk Gopher men's basketball here for a little bit, as the Gopher men are on the road taking on Wisconsin here tonight, back to Big Ten play after a little bit of a non-conference rest over the holidays. And the Gopher men are coming in at 11-2. Wisconsin comes in at 10-3. What has been the biggest point of success for the Gophers that has led to them getting off to this nice start?
Well, you just kind of look at how they've kind of developed over time, the Gopher basketball team. I thought earlier this year they were playing really well in stretches, but they weren't putting together complete games, and that's still something I'm kind of concerned about going into Big Ten play. But I kind of see how their guard play has kind of evolved. That's kind of the X factor of this team. They've got to get good point guard play, and they haven't really had consistent point guard play early in the Big Ten slate, but you see flashes. When Isaiah Washington is able to facilitate and they get out on the run, get a rebound, and play fast, that's when they're really successful. And you look at Daniel Tarrou's development, I would say he's the biggest key to the Gophers kind of getting over the hump and continuing to develop more success. The Gophers are 10th in offensive rebounds right now. Between Murph and Oturu's ability to attack the glass. They've added a lot of extra offensive possessions. They have a lot of high-low action between Murphy and Oturu, and that's kind of added a dimension they didn't have before. They didn't have much depth down low. And you look at when Amir Coffey's able to handle the ball, facilitate, and attack aggressively, that's when the Gophers are at their best. So for me, they have a lot of depth. They've got good depth down low. You look at Oturu, Murphy, you got Curry coming back now, who played 18 minutes in that last game, looked like he was kind of easing back, but he'll be someone that's super valuable, especially on the defensive end. They've got Matt Stockman, who can come off the bench. He was very impactful in limited minutes early in the year with Curry out. So for me, it kind of comes down to rotating those guards, maybe Coffey taking the ball handling duties a little bit. But I kind of like him playing off ball with Jelly playing the point guard spot. They're kind of able to open up their offense and spread things out. So for me, the matchup of this game is not getting in foul trouble with Hap being such a physical dominant post player. They're going to go right at Murph, and that's kind of been a problem in some of these games too. They have to stay out of foul trouble.
Looking at the Gopher women as well, as they are off to a very good start in their season, suffered their first loss of the year in their last game against Michigan, 76-60. But what has Lindsey Whalen been able to do to get her team playing so well in her first year as head coach?
Well, what stands out to me is when I watched the Wisconsin game earlier last week, I was really amazed with how well they played defense. That's kind of the body of work that they're trying to establish, that mantra is to play defense. You can tell, and Whalen was that kind of a player when she played. They're top 15 in defense. They've really, really kind of cemented themselves that that's how they're going to play basketball. And they really did a nice job of getting the ball into the post. Annalise played really, really well in the last game. She kind of didn't get a lot of opportunity before with the last coaching regime, but she's really, really developed down in the post. And she's someone to really watch. And you got Bella, who's such a good rebounder. And then you got Kenesha Bell, who's just really, really great at attacking and getting in the lane and making plays. And then you got Destiny Pitts around the arc, her ability to kind of help the team. They're really, really balanced, and they play good defense. And they kind of took one on the chin in Michigan, and I think that's kind of a learning moment for them. You know, they kind of went all year not really knowing what it was like to lose a basketball game, and Lindsey's going to right the ship and get them going back in the right direction. But she's done a nice job of making in-game adjustments, too. You see, like, another team going on a run, so-called timeouts at the right moment and kind of get the team back on track before it gets out of hand. And you can definitely see she's cut out for coaching, and I really, really like how they've kind of built their team on defense, and it stands out.
Daniel, everybody likes hot takes. That's what's selling in the media right now, and so I, as I did last year, am going to be releasing my 19 bold takes for 2019. I did this for 2018, and I ended up getting 2.5 right out of 18. So track record not the greatest, but one of the ones that I'm zeroing in on is that I think it's entirely possible that we see a deep run from either the Gopher women or the Gopher men in the NCAA tournament to the Elite Eight. Am I insane in thinking so, or do you think there's a shot that one or both of these Gopher teams could make a deep run in the tournament?
You know, I think the Gopher basketball, the men's team, with them, it's going to come down to that point guard spot like I was talking about. If they had Marcus Carr and he was eligible to play, I would be really confident about them making a deep run. If they can take care of the basketball, they've got enough diversity and depth, especially down low, that I don't think your prediction's outlandish. And again, with the women, it all comes down to defense. That defense is going to be critical when they get into those NCAA tournament games. And you look at what the road for the men is, the Big Ten is going to be really tough this year. You've got to pretty much get to 10-10 in conference play if you want to have a shot of getting to the tournament. That road's not going to be easy, but tonight kind of sets the tone for the rest of the year. If they can win that game at Wisconsin, they're going to have to steal a couple of tough road games in the Big Ten because it's not easy to do, and you have to win your home game. So I don't think your predictions, you know, are outlandish by any stretch because these teams have a lot of potential. I just don't know what kind of group we're going to get. Are they going to be able to get hot at the right time? That's kind of what it comes down to.
And we'll see if they're able to make 2019 a successful year, and we'll see what the Gophers have in store as well as we progress throughout the rest of the off season. As always, pleasure to have you on the show. Any content that listeners can check out in particular over at either gopherhole.com or 1500ESPN as we start to roll into the new year?
I'll have just a ton of off-season content. I'm kind of right now going through the season and kind of reflecting upon Gopher football, kind of pulling some stuff out. So in the next few weeks, I'm probably going to be laying out some different content, reflecting upon the Gopher football season and kind of where they go from there. And then Gopher basketball coverage, I'll be really starting to amp up that during the winter here. And, of course, then on my Vikings website, I'll be doing a lot of Vikings off-season stuff. So if you follow my Twitter account, at Daniel House NFL, you can check out a lot of diverse content.
Outstanding, Daniel. Great stuff today. Thanks for joining the show, and we will see how things go between the Gophers and Wisconsin. We'll talk plenty more Gopher athletics when we catch up with you again next week.
Always a pleasure. See you later.